The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Talk about tonight, and I want to start out with a couple of remarks that I think are very important. We live in an age of labels, certainly acronyms, cliches, buzzwords, but above all, we live in an age now of lies, lying. Everybody, in quotes, everybody lies. And why do they lie? Because they are being lied to. And they say, if my president can lie to me, or my favorite celebrity can lie to me, or my news service can lie to me, why the hell shouldn't I lie? That's a trite justification, but it works. And so we have young people now who lie all the time. They're growing up living a life of lies, untruths. Okay? That's really important. The idea of lying, though, is, I think, one of the most society-breaking, society-destroying things of them all. If we can't predicate normal commerce and communications with the truth or reality, or make our best effort at it, what do we have? Now, the key word for this first hour tonight, then we're going to meet our guest, our friend, our colleague, Charlotte Iserbeet. In fact, let's say hello right now. Hiya there, Charlotte.
Well, you sound awfully bushy-tailed tonight.
Well, I don't know. It's not drugs.
How do you manage this? I'm not very bushy-tailed tonight. Are you sure? I don't know how you do it. You must be taking some of those things you advertise.
Well, I do that, and it certainly helps. But that's all.
At least I still have a sense of humor. You know, I'm really very depressed, but my sense of humor increases the more I get depressed. I think that must be a blessing I have.
Well, it's therapy. Your body is administering therapy to
therapy.
You. That's it. Yep. Now, let me finish what I was saying here. And this is really important because Charlotte is, if anyone is an expert on communism and what it's doing here and what it has been doing here, it's Charlotte Iserbeet. Now, in 1963, Representative Congressman Herlong from Florida introduced into the U.S. The House, and it's a matter of the congressional record now, the communist agenda, the manifesto by which they were trying at that time to take over the U.S. There are 40-some things mentioned there. I've got a list of about half of them I'm going to read to you in a minute. But let me go back, and we're talking again about labels. Communism. It's not communism. It's worse. You've got socialism. Let's back up another step. Then we have Marxism. Then we have Bolshevism. All these things must be considered. But the progenitor of all of the isms is international Zionism. They created the whole thing. It's all about Zionism. Zionism created communism, which destroyed the lives of over 50, 60 million people and has tried to take this country down from the beginning. Now, here from the Congressional Record, and these all sound familiar to you, Charlotte, are some of the things that Representative Congressman Herlong put in the record. These are communist agendas, Zionist agendas. I'm not going to use the word communism much anymore. Number one, this is not number one, but this is number one I picked out of the list. Do away with all loyalty oaths. All right? Number two, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Did you get that? Get control of the schools. This is 1963. Did they succeed? The answer is unequivocal. Now, here's another one. Gain control of all university and college student newspapers. Oh, that was, they were doing that in the 60s. Another one. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under Zionist attack. And Zionism is attacking anything that used to be good in this country. The next one, infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. Have they succeeded? You figure it out. Here's another one. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Have they succeeded? Zionism. Another one. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell, an American Zionist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings. Substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. Can you say Andy Warhol? Eliminate all laws governing obscenity. This is crucial. By calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. Have they succeeded? Here's another one. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. Have the Zionists succeeded? Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Has the Zionist agenda succeeded? Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Have they succeeded? Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Have they succeeded? They're damn close. Discredit the American founding fathers. Oh, my. Present them as selfish aristocrats and, I'm going to add this, slave owners who had no concern for the common man. Did they succeed? Are they succeeding? Is that front and center? Belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the real big picture. Here's another. Support, we're almost to the end. Support any socialist movement, any Zionist movement, any liberal, any alt-left movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Infiltrate and gain control of big business. Has international Jewish Zionism been successful there? I think you know the answer. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders with no one but psychiatrists can understand. dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose Zionist goals. Discredit the family as an institution. Oh, my. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Oh, my, my. And lastly, but not least, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. Do you get it, folks? Do you see the game plan? My God, it's clear. Charlotte?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, it's something that so few people, you know, dare discuss because we're all smashed down. But the important thing is to realize is that so many of these, there are some very, very good Jews out there who are, you've got some on your site, you know, who are
sure.
actually exposing this whole agenda.
Yeah.
And thank God for them, because none of us have the guts, because we get attacked for being anti-Semitic, which we're not. I mean, actually, the Jews and the Arabs are both Semites, right?
You bet. We're not.
We're opposed to any group that is, absolutely determined to divide and conquer our nation. And yeah. and that's been the communists all along. And people who understand or know the history of communism, they know that the leading communists were Jews. And that doesn't mean that all the Jews in the world approved of it, but they were. And that's the communist agenda. You just read it. And the brainwashing has been total is hardly the word. And I just think my son has a lot of really good articles, and books on his website, written by Jews who are telling the truth.
Remember Benjamin Friedman?
Fantastic. Yes.
A giant of a man.
Can you imagine having the guts to go out and oppose world Zionism? I mean, I have a wonderful book. I think you probably heard of it, and I try to get it out all the time. It's called Jewish History, Jewish Religion. And it's by Israel Shahak.
Oh, Shahak was great. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's interesting because that book, the Washington Post was so upset with Israel Shahak, who, by the way, his parents, all three of them, his parents and himself, they were in Jewish, Nazi concentration camp. And his parents were killed there. And Shahak wasn't. He got out and he went to Israel because he was very excited about the creation of the new state of Israel, right? And very gung-ho. And he went out there and he found out what you were just talking about, basically. And he wrote this extraordinary book, which you can't give this to an evangelical Christian. You know, they'll never speak to you again because so many of them are Zionists.
Yep.
By Israel, I love that book, Israel Shahak. People can get it. Go on the internet. It's called Jewish History, Jewish Religion. And he was all gung-ho for the state of Palestine. You know, after he got out of the prison camp, his parents killed there, he went out and he was all very excited about helping create the state of Israel. And I remember one incident, and it's funny, you know, it's always good when you can remember one at least. And it was he went to a luncheon with a Jewish friend of his, invited him for luncheon, and there was somebody else at luncheon who was a Christian. And the Christian had a heart attack at the luncheon, and his Jewish friend did not call the ambulance. And, you know, Shahak said, well, aren't you going to call an ambulance? And, you know, his Jewish host said, no, you don't have to. He's Christian. I mean, that just, you know, you don't even have to read the book. That blew me away because I've always, you know, I've got you know, the old saying, you know, we always say, always pick on all of us for saying, we've got Jewish friends, we've got black friends, we've got Muslim friends and all. Everybody picks on you for saying that. Well, I do have, you know. And so I don't have any beef against any of those groups. My beef is against the politicization of these groups that want to infiltrate our country and our schools and our children and our culture. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, Jeff, on my good friend who was an Arab, you know, and he was the press attaché at the Egyptian embassy when I was working in Middle Eastern affairs. And his name was Mohammed Habib. He's probably dead now. This was during all the Suez Canal problem, all the problems with Israel. And Mohammed, he would always say to me, and I want people to listen to this, because he wasn't alone on this. He said, Charlotte, I just don't understand why every single country in the world doesn't adopt the United States Constitution. It's the most magnificent document that protects everybody's rights, no matter what color, what creed, whatever. I mean, he would say it over and over to the point where whenever I'd meet Mohammed for lunch, I always knew that was going to be sort of like our little grace before we ordered our whatever. And what I see right now is this huge effort being made to divide and conquer in our country, to divide all of us. And Americans are just going blindly along with it. You know, the media talks to them, tells them all this stuff, you know, yeah, oh, yeah, I hate him and I hate her and let's all hate everybody. And you know what? divide and conquer. I mean, who was it? I think it was Benjamin Franklin, good Mason, but he didn't make sense. He said either we all, you know, die, stand together or we die separately or whatever it was. Remember?
Yep.
And we are at that point now. But I couldn't agree more with you, and I know it's a very difficult subject to discuss because we all get targeted for it. But I mean, I'm willing to talk about any group.
You know, the
that
one rule one here that I've always stressed in 24 years is that we never lump all people of any identity together. There
That's
are always
right.
exceptions, always remarkable people. And you think of the contributions that black Americans have made.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, that's my favorite subject.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'm always onto that one because I do feel that what's going in now, I think I sent it to you, the regional government thing, which is really serious. Where do I get my glasses on here? I hope everybody will go in onto the internet and get this information. It's I sent it to you, Jeff. It's about regionalism, the map of northern region, Northern Border Regional Commission. Type that in, folks, into the internet. Northern Border Regional Commission. And then there's this other, you know, it's a YouTube. It's a really good guy, I can't remember his name, who discusses this situation that's going in across the country now. It's absolutely installed. It's embedded. It's in concrete. And it's regional government. And it sounds so innocent, doesn't it? Regionalism is communism. And it's going in right now, and we're having to, you know, you know how I've been about a little, I'm not a strong Trump supporter. I've never been as anti-Trump, really. I'm sort of, I have concerns about him, his personality. But evidently, he may have done something good. He may have one good advisor. Did you get that email from me?
Just now?
It's called Maybe Trump Finally Has One Good Advisor. Who might that be? And a great activist here in Maine.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. That's shocking. That is so shocking. And Americans don't understand that Regionalism is communism. I'm just going to read this.
Well, that's Agenda 21. Agenda 21.
Right,
all the way.
Yeah, but they don't know.
No, no. They have no idea. They're clueless. Clueless.
1975.
November 8th.
There was an article in the Communist Daily World.
Yeah.
And it was called Planning is Socialism's Trademark by Morris Seitlin, who was a sociologist, University of California, I think it was San Diego. And the Daily World, which is a newspaper of the Communist Party USA, and it used to be called The Worker, right, was founded in 1924. And the importance of the article lies in its blatant admission that regionalism, which is gradually being, this is me talking, which is gradually being, I wrote this in about 10, 15 years ago, gradually being the accepted method of unelected governance in the United States, unelected, meant is elected. Unelected councils and task forces, participatory democracy, public-private partnerships. Thank you, President Reagan. Remember, I was the liaison with the White House on that one.
Yeah.
It's a form of government used in democratic, socialist, and communist countries. And, you know, and then there are all these excerpts from the article, and he's just bemoaning the fact that our capitalist society doesn't have all these this planning and all these unelected councils. He bemoans it. Comprehensive planning, metro. What are you talking about? Regional government and planning remain concepts. This is a direct quote. Our urban scholars and planners have long advocated in vain. In socialist countries, metropolitan regions enjoy metropolitan regional government and comprehensive planning. Well, hey, folks, how about that little planning board you've got down the street? You don't even bother to find out what they're doing. But these articles that just came out that Steve Schran, who's my buddy who helps me up here, he's the one who found it. Wait until you read it. Wait until you read this stuff. You get it out, Jeff. I hope you put it up.
Yeah,
and then it says, of the many regions on the vast territory of the Soviet Union, the Moscow region commands special attention, for it has been since the 1917 revolution the country's economic and political center. And then he tells us that the economic and functional efficiencies and the social benefits, the comprehensive national, this is all going in the United States right now, folks, everywhere. While you think your elected officials, who you thought were good, are doing what you want, but what they're doing, they are doing what you want, sort of, at the local level, but they're taking their orders from the state planning board, and there are no elected officials there. Okay. Oh, but this is a funny thing. It says the economic and it's not funny and functional efficiencies and the social benefits that comprehensive national, regional, and city planning make possible in socialist society explain, now please sit down, folks, before you have a heart attack, explain the Soviet Union's enormous and rapid economic and social progress. And then he goes on. Conversely, our profit-oriented ruling capitalist class makes comprehensive social and economic planning impossible, causing waste and chaos and dragging the entire nation into misery and suffering as its rule deteriorates and declines. Now, isn't that a wonderful article by Morris? That's in my book, free download, right? Deliberate Dumbing Down. It's easy to get because his name is Zeitlin. And all you have to do is look at the index under Z. I don't think there's anybody else with a name that
Z-I-T-L-I-N, Zeitlin.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's going in all over now. I'm not telling you it's going to go in. I'm not saying it's in the future like we usually do, Jeff, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying it's in. Look, folks, excuse me. We already are communist. The Bill of Rights is gone. I've seen it personally because of what happened with my son, right? The Constitution's gone. While everybody's having these little meetings about the Constitutional Convention, blah, 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 blah. You know, divide and conquer, divert.
See, you know, if they get their con, we are formally ready for Forest Lawn as a nation. It's over.
Yeah, we'll formally give approval to the kind of incidents that happened with you, but with me, and I really saw it, police state under the community-oriented policing system. We've already lost our rights. I mean, Sam's not, every single right was stripped from him. He didn't even want to use a gun, you know. But anyway, he's not allowed to have a gun. He had one, but he didn't use it. The other guy used it to try to kill him. But no freedom of speech. You can't go to your elected officials. We call. We're told we're on the no-call list. You go down, private property, huh? You're allowed to have people trespassing? Everything's gone already.
You're right, and it's getting worse and worse. It's intensifying. When you have the corrupt courts that we have now, how can anyone even begin to think they're going to get justice?
No, it's very frustrating because, you know, you could go on and on, and finally you run out of money because you can't pay the lawyers. And, of course, the lawyers, a lot of them are working with, this is a new system. It's really sad. Many of the lawyers are working with the corrupt judicial system across the country.
Oh, are you kidding?
And my feeling is that, you know, I've been watching it carefully. I'm beginning to feel that the police themselves, they don't like it either, what they're looking at, because they're being run by the justice system.
Yeah.
So the police really are not in charge of what's going on. They're doing what the district attorney wants or what the attorney general wants.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so they're frustrated, too. I mean, I've seen a lot. It's been a tremendous learning experience for me.
Sure.
Where, you know, I was always education, and all of a sudden, I've you know, it's sort of catch up, Charlotte. And I start out as, first of all, I'm sort of mad at the police because they didn't arrest the guy, right? Well, I mean, here he is. He shoots my son, and he screams he's going to murder you from the streets, and all. He doesn't even get arrested. We can't even find out who made the decision not to arrest him. I know who made the decision, probably. It probably wasn't in the police department.
No, probably not.
It probably was the district attorney. So you're right.
It's so bad, Charlotte. It's gotten to the point now where I'm openly urging people, and I know you good cops out there, men and women, understand what's going on. You know better than I will ever
know.
They
know better than we do.
Of course they do. And I tell people, don't call 911 unless your life is on the line. Stay away from the judicial and criminal court system. Don't
go
near it.
Do not report any... Well, you know what? In a way, I can't... It's hard for me to say that because if it hadn't been for the great eyewitness only 30 feet from the porch where my son was taken down.
Yeah.
You know, but the point is that the tragedy here... It's that she's been ignored. They're drafting a new, I think it's a global legal constitution. And that's what's going on right now. And witnesses will be absolutely no part of the game anymore.
Oh, no.
I think they're getting rid of the witnesses.
They're certainly discounting them. That's for damn sure.
How can you possibly have an eyewitness and five other witnesses who, you know, this is my son's, you know, side, who are defending my son, right? But the murderer, he doesn't have anybody defending him, and yet he's the one that gets off.
How many times, as grim and horrible and agonizing as what you and Sam went through, how many other cases are like that, and maybe even worse because people died?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just lucky. It was a total miracle. I mean,
it was a miracle.
How he survived, usually bleed out in 15 minutes. They didn't get him to the hospital for 35 minutes. He only lives three houses from the hospital.
They gave him the Princess Diana red carpet treatment.
But you're right. But, you know, you try to get Americans to... I was really pleased, Jeff. I recently have received a couple of emails from black guys who are very knowledgeable. One was an editor of a paper, educated, right? And that's interesting, isn't it? You don't hear much from the white people, but I had a couple of really nice emails from them saying, keep up your good work. You've got a lot of support. Thank you.
Amen.
I was thrilled. I'm going to put that on the refrigerator.
You should. That's wonderful. That's really
nice. Yeah, it is, folks. Hey, where are all the white people?
You know,
why aren't they rising up like this? And you know why he writes? Because he knows. He knows what we went through, and yeah, we're not black. He knows the blacks get most of it, but he's really good, and he's one of us, and he's a, you know, very solid, traditional value guy who believes in good education, everything else, and he bothers, and I'm really in touch with him, so I send him all my stuff, and he puts it all on Facebook for me, because I don't use Facebook. But it is this divide and conquer thing, and I'm sick and tired of it. I've seen it within our own ranks, Jeff, so have you. You know, those of us who are supposed to be constitutionalists and care for morals and values and all, we've been working on this for years, and yet we've had efforts to break up our remarkably good groups that were highly successful until Ronald Reagan got in. See?
All right, what happened? Let me go back. We got 20 minutes or so, but I want to go back to what the communists, the Zionists, knew all about American blacks and how to use them to take this culture down. And they have used black Americans constantly, and it's gotten so bad now that the good and the wise and the intelligent, caring, giving black Americans are afraid to stand up. They get their butts kicked. You, Uncle Tom, you this, you that.
That's what this guy said. He's called Uncle Tom. He told me that.
I don't blame him. I mean, look, it's a tough thing to do when your own community turns on you. But shame on the majority of American blacks who have the opportunity to really synthesize and process what's going on and don't do it. They're being used and abused.
They've been so used since, you know, Brown versus Board of Education. I've got to do an article on that because I know the history of it. And people will be very surprised to hear that, again, who do you think it was who funded the Swedish communist Gunnar Myrdal, sociologist, who do you think funded him to help write Brown versus Board of Education?
I don't know.
Carnegie.
Uh-huh.
And so he really didn't know much about American education, so he didn't have that big a role in it. But there were a lot of these anthropologists, you know, Frank Broas and Benedict and a few others, you know, and they were involved in that. And I know what their goal was. Their goal wasn't to help the blacks, you know, to integration and all. Their goal was to use them and also to bring about communism, which is regionalism, because the busing that went on, I was always in favor of integration, I still am, but they used Brown versus Board of Education to bring about communism in the United States through regionalism. And if you go back and you understand the busing, remember, a lot of the black mamas are having hysterics because their kids were on the bus 4 hours a day.
Sure.
And buses were going across borders.
Yep.
And that's regionalism.
Yes, it is.
And I've always felt that Brown versus Board of Education had little to do with their concern about the black community. And then you have Gorbachev calling for... This is important. It's in the New York Times. Gorbachev was calling for all the blacks to have their own state. Oh,
now, I don't remember that one, and I believe you, that's pretty wild.
I will send it to you. And I also have somewhere, I wish I could find it, but it's a little tract with Stalin's on the cover, and it's called The Negro Problem, and how they were going to use that to break up America and bring us down.
Well, they're doing it right now.
Yeah,
we're seeing it.
Yeah, and they did, and they followed the script. And it took me a long time to have the guts, really, to talk about this. But now that we're in such a mess, and it's divide and conquer, and it's the same old, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans at the top working together, the globalists, what they want is to get us all fighting each other so that, you know, Lincoln Bloomfield, I think he was the one in the State Department in the 50s, a real commie, who came right out and said that the situation will become, you know, so violent between the races and everything that the American people will find, you know, they'll have all explosions and, you know, bombs and all this and that, that the American people will become so fed up. What will they do, Jeff? They'll call United Nations troops in to protect them. Sure. And that is a direct quote.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now Kissinger said the same thing.
He did. Well, his ultimate was when he said, "What would people do?" And I'm paraphrasing. If there was an off-planet invasion,
mm-hmm.
right? They would do anything, give up anything to be made safe from the threat. That's the game.
I got that quote from a great researcher lady, Edith Kermit Roosevelt, who was the granddaughter of Theodore Roosevelt. And I've never forgotten it. I mean, her brothers were high up, you know, covert agents of the CIA. They were Arabists, actually, very, very students of that. And Edith Roosevelt did some wonderful writing out of Baton Rouge in Louisiana in the 60s. And she got a lot of her research from her brothers. And she wrote about this. And I never forgot it. But it's very, very important. And then, of course, I find this little track with Stalin's face on it,
mm-hmm.
where he's discussing how they're going to use the Negro problem. And it really makes me mad, because when you think of the contributions the blacks have made, I don't call them African Americans because they're Americans. We're all Americans, right? I'm not a Scottish American. I don't know what you are. You're Italian or Austrian or something, right? But anyway, these people have made huge contributions percentage wise, fighting in our wars, and tremendous art, music, right? Jazz. Oh, I love jazz. I'm a jazz addict.
Well, they had after World War II. After World War II, blacks had it made. They had made the right decision. They were on the right road to being Americans. And their contribute, they dressed wonder. You go back and look at the pictures of the 1950, early 50 black. They dressed
life and all.
They dressed to the nines. They had family. Mm-hmm. They were the nuclear American family in many ways. They were striving for that. They created in the 50s some of the most beautiful music. And then what did they do? They bought in to the crap about roots. And black is beautiful. Not they were made to feel inferior when they were on their way to getting as close to equality as they had ever been.
And then they used them, as I always have talked about. You know, people can read my article. Just type this into Google. It's called Experimentation with Minorities. Because I had all of the grants and contracts. They used the blacks, the inner cities, to put the Skinner method in the beginning, performance-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that, which is what we have now for school to work and the school choice and all, because it's school to work. It's performance-based. It's results-based. Outcomes, right? Skinner. And they used the blacks. They started in Chicago, and half the inner city kids dropped out in 82, I think. Yes. Half of them dropped out.
Huh.
Education Week, which is a professional journal, referred to it as a human tragedy of enormous proportions. But that didn't make a damn bit of difference, excuse my language, to these change agents, these commie change agents in education. So they just continued doing it in every inner city school, using this wretched system, which is a Soviet system, no grades, no competition, it's all for workforce training, right? And of course, the blacks suffered. Their test scores went down, et cetera. And then it was perfected. And now we've all got it. Thank you, Betsy DeVos.
No more grades pretty soon, ladies and gentlemen.
No, absolutely not.
No child left behind. Just move them along.
Oh, yeah.
Move them right along.
No child left behind. Just let him deal with the future and let him see he's going to have no upward mobility. He's going to be part of the quota system, just like Cuba or China or Russia. You know, and if he wants to be an architect,
right.
If he's not within the quota system, which is decided by the public-private partnership, thank you, President Reagan, he won't be. He won't be allowed to choose his future.
No.
It's disgusting. And I know the story. I don't know why maybe I'm a little weird that I stuck with it so long, but I do understand what they're doing. And they are dividing and conquering. And I did another show recently, and I just said, look, folks, just kindly turn your television off, get off Facebook, and go and visit your neighbor. And maybe for the first time, meet your neighbor.
That's true.
To your neighbor.
Yeah.
Whoever they are, I don't care whether they're black, green, pink, whatever, you know, talk to them. Because the average human being on this planet, we all have pretty much similar desires, right, for our children and our families and our futures. But there's one thing we don't want. One thing we do want. We want to be left alone. And these people up at the top are evil. And they have plenty of money to control us. They control the media. You were talking about the major controllers in the beginning. But we have to get to know our neighbors. I mean, look, I'm guilty myself, too.
Oh, they don't want that. And there are so many people who have actually never met their neighbors. They might wave
That's
at them.
Right.
That's it. And they're living 15 feet away.
It's so sad. Just think what you might be missing.
Yep. Yep.
You know what you might be missing? Fun. It might be fun to get to know your neighbor.
They don't want that. They want stress, anguish, anxiety, diversion. They don't want you focusing on reality.
No.
Nope. And just remember, we're using the term communist here, but it's the people who created communism that we're talking about. It's all about Zionism, international world Zionism.
It is. And you know, the point is that the history. I mean, like Solzhenitsyn, he wrote that book. You know, what's it called?
Oh, what a brilliant man! Jeez.
Yeah, he wrote the book, and it can't get it published in the United States. 200 years, it's called. And he understood. He knew what happened in Russia.
Sure.
And you can't get it published in the United States because he's telling the truth.
It's still being suppressed here. I didn't know that. It's still being suppressed here. I didn't know that.
You mean 200 years that he wrote?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I haven't checked lately. I'll check Amazon.
Well, nobody's reading anymore anyway, dear. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's right. You cannot, well, of course not.
No, it's all instant gratification with a 2.3-second attention span and that cell phone, that ever-present cell phone, that smartphone that'll take them into utter mental, intellectual oblivion. It precludes wisdom of all shapes and sizes. They're going to end up being totally reactionary, dependent upon their culture, as they call it, about the most frivolous things that people could ever be confronted with. There's proactivity anymore.
That, you know, we used to think that cookbooks and all were sort of not as, well, I would love to cook, but, you know, we thought those things were not really that important. We should be studying history and all. Well, my goodness me, people don't even look in a cookbook anymore. I mean, they're not going to believe anything unless it's on television or Facebook.
It's true. Those are the arbiters of worth and value. TV and Facebook. And whatever else electronically and digitally.
Well,
that
I don't know why you and I always do agree. Very rarely do we. Have we had any disagreements?
No.
Do agree.
Except when you threw the bottle at me once.
I threw a bottle at you?
That's a joke.
Oh, I don't know how I could possibly throw that across the country.
It's a long reach. You got a great arm. No, I'm kidding. No,
God,
we really don't.
Anyway.
We've never disagreed on anything because we're both grounded people. And there are a lot of them listening right now who are grounded. They understand.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the smartest audience in talk radio. And I'm so proud of them. They get it. And they're not. They're
well,
not
you know, thank God for them because I think you know I've noticed. We'll do a few more interviews, but I think that it's awfully late to have an awakening. But I think
too late.
There is an awakening.
There's one, but it's marginal. It is being continually suppressed by the mm-hmm. media, and if it gets to be really formidable, they will penetrate it and take it down. That's what they do. They're not going to give up their control, and if they had to come to the situation in life for them where they were confronted right. with losing control or right. destroying the yeah. planet, guess what they do? They take the right. whole damn thing down. They will never give up control, these people. They're beyond evil.
Well, they've become really worse and worse. I was thinking, somebody was asking me on a show the other day about getting rid of history because of Charlottesville and the whole thing, and they asked me, well, how did this ever happen? And I said, well, look, there was an article in the New York Times, because I've always read the New York Times, you know, all the news that fits, right? My mother used to say that. But I find it, if you read it carefully, you're going to find a lot of good stuff. There was this article, and it was on the front page. And it was about how American history was being changed. And it talked about this interview with this teacher in the mid-70s and how they were going to take George Washington out, and they were going to substitute all the Hollywood personalities and all the garbage sports and everything, right?
Yeah.
But no more American history. And Americans are now asking themselves, hey, what happened? How come they're taking Robert E. Lee down? Well, the New York Times in 1976 told me that they were going to take it out of all the textbooks.
Wow.
That's right, New York Times. That's not a conservative journal.
No. You know what's even crazier, Charlotte? Get this. ESPN, the sports cable network, mm-hmm. had an Asian. Now, they took a chance on this for a number of reasons. They had an Asian sports reporter named Robert Lee, and they fired him because they were concerned about some kind of a backlash over his name.
Robert Lee was his name. Oh,
yes.
My goodness. You've got to be kidding.
How cowardly can these people get? What are they afraid of? I don't get
you
it.
You know, you made me think of something. In the U.S.-Soviet education agreements that Reagan signed, you know what there was in there?
Huh.
It said that the United States would allow the Soviets to put up statues. I'm so glad I remember this. Listen, statues to Soviet cultural figures. That is in the agreement.
Wow.
So, okay, it's all right to put up. Well, maybe they're talking about Rachmaninoff and, you know, some of the greats, huh?
Right.
But still, I went, And now we're being told we have to take Robert E. Lee down?
Oh, and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, come on, because they own slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Because they own slaves. We all know about slavery. We're not going to go into it again here. We understand. We all know. And this is so bogus and so trite. And I hope that, who was it? I guess the city of Charlottesville has shrouded all of their statues now. They haven't torn them down, but they've shrouded them all.
I mean, really? But don't forget what I just said.
When you
we
take,
signed off on that.
Yeah, when you take...
George Shultz signed for the United States mm-hmm. a disagreement with Gorbachev to put statues of Soviet cultural figures up all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether they did it or not, but I was pretty shocked.
No, they didn't.
And now we're being told we have to take down statues of American, what we consider... great patriots and heroes, those who helped write the Constitution.
It's worse than that, Charlotte. That's what we're seeing and focusing on, according to the media. That's the important thing. The important thing is they're taking our history and rewriting it. They're going to rewrite our entire history.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was Charlottesville that shrouded all Confederate statues.
Oh, this is just awful.
It's worse than that. It's the end of America. It's the end of a legitimate America.
Do you think, you know, if you took one person out of every state at random, you know, 50 people at random, except you don't include the elected officials, of course, but and ask them what they think of this? Honestly, Jeff, maybe I'm naive, but I really do believe that probably 80%.
The majority of Americans, it is about 80, I think it was 80 or 85, want these statues left alone. They realize it's
of
our
course.
History. But the activists, and many of whom are being paid by Soros and other Zionists.
Oh, you know, and Southern Poverty Legal.
And SPL. By the way, the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, says that its donations are up over 1,000% since Charlottesville.
That.
Oh, does that want to make you puke or not? That is unbelievable.
Don't you think they're just lying?
I would hope so.
I can't believe that.
I'm looking right now at a picture of Robert E. Lee, Lincoln's first choice to lead the Union of the Army of the Union. And he said, no, I'm going to defend my state, Virginia. He was a real statesman. States' rights. I'm not embarrassed at all. I wish the South had won the war. This has nothing to do with slavery.
We had members in our family that were on that side, and then we had the ones on the northern side.
Right.
But lastly, you know, recently I just heard that Robert E. Lee freed the slaves, his slaves, 5 years before.
He hated slavery.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And so why are they, he should be a hero.
Of course, they're stupid, because they're stupid. They're stupid.
They don't know history.
They don't study it. They don't know it. They're illiterate. There's a 75% dropout rate in high schools in most major urban areas in this country.
Yeah.
It's kind of like over. And I'm sorry.
I know.
And for all of you out there who get it, and you younger people especially, you have a tremendous responsibility and an opportunity to help those who don't get it. So I hope you won't quit. But the temptation is certainly there. Just be careful. That's all I can tell you. Charlotte, thank you very much, as always, for everything you do and have done and will continue to do. It's always a pleasure.
You.
You're such a walking just library of wisdom and knowledge. It's amazing to me. So,
well, don't let them divide and conquer.
No, we're working on it. Okay, talk soon.
Well, thank you, Jeff, as always. God bless.
Right. Okay, dear. Good night.
Bye.
All right, staying up late in Maine is Charlotte Iserbeet. Okay, back with more. And I think what we're going to do, I promised you this, so I think the next hour we're going to take your calls, and I'm going to play a little music maybe. We'll just kind of have some fun for an hour. Had an opening here. Somebody was ill, so we will do that next. And I'll give you the phone number to call. It should be up on the homepage by now. Look in guests, and you can call in, and we'll have some fun.